Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
Amazing. Well, we are in the middle of a preaching series. Actually, it's going to be one of the last talks on this subject called Relationship Moves. And I would like to start with something funny, hopefully funny. I have a few pictures here. Here's the first one. There are two ways of arguing with a woman. Neither one works. You are allowed to laugh. Thank you, my friends. You are allowed to laugh. And all the ladies agreed, right? Come on. Okay, number two, here's another one. Husbands, now you have to listen carefully. Husbands, if your wife does something wrong, just explain how your mom used to do it. She will appreciate your advice and strive to do it more like your mother did. That's an excellent relationship advice. No, don't do it. Here's another one. I like this one. Husbands are the best people to share secrets with. They will never tell anyone because they aren't even listening. All right, so just, ladies, just tell your secrets to your husbands. They will keep the secret forever because they are not even paying any attention. All right, but there are some holy men, you know, there are some exceptions. Here we go, and here's my final one. This is for you guys. Marriage was one of the best and stressless decisions I have ever made. Derek, age 25. Oh, wow, guys. I love to talk about marriage. I love to talk about relationships. And I love the fact that the Bible is a family book. The Bible is full of real stories about families and marriages. And I realize that this is a very diverse crowd. We have a lot of married people, but we also have a lot of people that went through a disappointment in their marriage, and maybe even a breakup in their marriage and their relationships. And there are also a lot of singles, a lot of people who are still waiting to be married. So hopefully I will bring some wisdom from the Bible, from the Word of God to encourage you. I think it's a good thing to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us right now. Is that all right? So whether you're single or whether you're married or whether you have actually gone through a very painful season, let's just ask the Lord to speak to us right now. So dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would just give us your wisdom, give us your encouragement, and that you would give us just a special anointing in the area of relationships in our own lives and also in our church. And we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus today. And everybody says, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Well, as I started to say, the Bible is a family book. It's a book that tells us so many family stories. You know, I love the fact that when it comes to the book of Genesis, you know, there is the story of creation. And the Bible only spends two chapters on the whole story of creation. There is only two chapters, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and the whole of creation is covered in two chapters. But in the same book, when it comes to a family story, there is, you know, the famous story of Joseph. How many of you love the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis? The same book actually takes 13 chapters to talk about Joseph and his life, his family story. The Bible is also a book of genealogies. You know, there are so many genealogies in the Bible. And he was the father of this son, and he beget this guy, and there is just like, those are the boring chapters you skip when you read the Bible. We'll have the altar call later, you can repent. We usually skip over those pages, right? I was just talking to a lady yesterday, and she told me she listens to the Bible app. And when it comes to genealogy, she just skips that chapter, you know? She presses the fast forward button. But the reason why we have genealogies in the Bible is to show us that the Bible is a family book. It's a story of salvation that continues from one generation to another generation to another generation. You know, just recently, a few months ago, I did a funeral for an older man. He was 81. And then I was invited into his house. He had no one. He never married, and he never had any sons or daughters, obviously. And so his house was left alone. And there was a big Bible in his house, and I was given the privilege to take that Bible. And I have a collection of old books and old Bibles, and there is a lot of dust in that. So anyway, long story short, there was also a small, tiny Bible, worn out, completely worn out, pages falling out. And when I opened that Bible, there was a name and a signature, and something was written out that said, "Born by faith and spirit, born again by faith and spirit, in faith and spirit, 1924. Next year, it's going to be 100 years since this miracle happened in this person's life. And it was the father of this older gentleman who died a few months ago. And for me, it was so special, you know. I have in my Bible collection a little book, a little Bible, where a person was born again 100 years ago. And because of that decision, someone's destiny was changed forever. And I happened to do the funeral of this person who was born again and is in heaven because of someone's decision to follow Christ 100 years ago. Just yesterday, I was praying for a lady who is sick with cancer. And of course, I was praying for healing, but I was also thanking for her life. Because about 30 years ago, this person came to Christ. And she was one of the first people in our church years ago. And because of her faith, her family was saved. And then her son was saved. And through her son, many people came to the Lord because he served as an evangelist for many years. You know, when you make a decision to follow Christ, that heritage, that blessing will go from one generation to another generation. And that's why I love genealogies in the Bible. Because it shows us that the blessing of God will go from one generation to another. I'm going to talk about three principles tonight. And the first one is simply redemption. Redemption. You know, the good news in the Bible is that God actually redeems people. He gives us a new chance. And He takes our past and He redeems our past for the good. When we start following Jesus Christ, He lets us receive a completely new life. First of all, it's deep inside of us. But then actually, this new life, when we're bubbling with the Holy Spirit, this new life actually starts to overflow, and the people around us are changed and blessed as well. And what follows after that, a healing process begins. Something from deep within us starts to heal our soul. Our past, our hurts, our soul wounds, our memories begin to be healed. You know, some of the hurts that hurt the most are the hurts that come from family members, those that we love the most. Those hurts, those wounds are the deepest in our soul. But when we discover how Jesus forgave us, then we have the power to forgive others. I love this scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 68, which says, He is a father to the fatherless. Can we say this together? He is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of widows, God and His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. You know, He put you in your physical family, but He also put you in your spiritual family. And we see that the heart of God actually is reaching out to the broken. In this scripture, it's the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows. And I love the fact that the Bible is full of broken families. I was looking for a perfect family in the Bible, couldn't find one. There's not one perfect family in the Bible. There's a few that, you know, we see in the Bible. The first one is Adam and Eve. Now, we would expect that Adam and Eve would actually make a perfect family, right? But, you know, the first sons, Cain and Abel, it was a huge disappointment. One of them ends up killing the other. It was the first family in the Bible is an incredibly broken family. And then you come to the family of Abraham, the founder of God's lineage of His nation. And then you look at how there was how the story developed with his nephew Lot, or later his son Ishmael and his son Isaac. And there is so much pain in that story. And Hagar, Abraham's servant, the mother of Ishmael, she had to be cast out of the house. If you continue on, you come to David, you know, the famous king. Both his family, where he grew up, and also the family that he was the father of, they were all broken, dysfunctional. David himself, he was the youngest of eight, and he was neglected. When Samuel comes to their house, David is not even invited to the table. And then when eventually David has a family of his own, it's a story of broken marriages and moral failures and even immoral and homicidal sons. So when we look into the Bible and try to find a perfect family or a model family, we either see some horror details in that family, or we do not know enough details to make a judgment. So no pressure. You don't have to be a perfect family. You don't have to be, you know, these perfect people trying to have a perfect family. You simply just have to obey God and be in the center of His will. And God is going to give you the blessing and the healing into your own life. Come on. Yeah. God always worked with the family in the Bible. Some families were missing. There were some stories in the Bible where the family was simply missing. The father was missing, or the mother was missing. There are some families that were simply messed up, totally messed up, like some of the stories that I mentioned. Then there were thankfully some families in the Bible that were moral, families of character, people of character. And some families in the Bible were simply a miracle. Whatever your family background, let me encourage you that God is gonna have His way into your life, into your marriage, into your story. And it begins with the new life that Christ put inside of you by the Holy Spirit. There are a couple of things that usually speak into our into the things we've inherited, that we bring into our own lives from our families. I'm going to just mention three very quickly. The first one is what we call a father scar. Each one of us carry a wound or a scar from our physical fathers. You know, you may have had the most amazing father, and still there are things in your life that are actually maybe dysfunctional or hurts because of your physical father. Some fathers are absent. maybe because they died early, or maybe because they divorced, or maybe because they were too busy. And that leaves a scar. Some fathers were aggressive, physically aggressive, or even abusive. Some even to the point of sexual abuse. Some fathers were too permissive. Fathers that kind of allowed everything and never installed, never built character, never built self-discipline. And that usually leaves a scar in a child, in the soul of a child. I told my boys, you know, I'm trying to be the best father, but I'm sure there's going to be some other pastor will need to pray for you. The second thing that we receive into our own life and marriage from the previous generation is something that we call a generational pattern. It's a chain of dysfunction, a sin that goes from one generation to another generation, and it accumulates. It may be an addiction to alcohol or drugs or pornography, immorality, and it kind of goes from one generation to another generation. It kind of accumulates. And when you enter that family, it's like the normal thing. It can be divorce or abortions or immorality that is kind of carried on from one generation to another. So it's the father's scar. It's a generational pattern. But it's also the language, spoken curses that go from one generation to another generation. You may have heard statements like, I don't love you, or I hate you. You should have never been born. You are unwanted. You will never succeed. You will never amount to anything. Those things, in some families, they are the culture of the house. They are the language that curses the generation. But we believe that through Jesus, we have redemption. Are you happy for this? We have redemption through Jesus. The father's scar is healed. The generational pattern is broken. And the curses are broken. In Jesus, you are a new creation. We have a new revelation. And we receive a new culture. Amen. Let me elaborate on this. You are a new creation. Objectively, you are different. The Holy Spirit resides in you. You are a new creation. The Bible says the past is gone. The former things are gone and everything is made new. Through Jesus, you get a new revelation. The Word of God is the new revelation. It comes into your heart. It washes you. You are transformed in your mind, in your thoughts by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. You know that you are now loved, that you are free, you are accepted, you are victorious, you are blessed. Do you know that? Amen. You are not cursed, you are blessed because of the new creation. And finally, you get a new culture. You get a whole new set of siblings. Look around you. These brothers and sisters. I'm sorry. You get a new set of siblings. You get an environment for transformation. You know, we say that often the church is just a group of friends encouraging one another to go higher in Jesus Christ. You get a new set of siblings. Come on. You get a healing environment. This, you know, one of the reasons you have to come to church, because healing happens here. As you interact with one another, God is healing your soul. And especially when you serve. Serving is the most selfless thing you can do. And when you serve, it's almost like you forget about your own dysfunction, your own pain. You serve others. And a month later, you're like, wow, this doesn't even hurt anymore. Because you focus on others. The love of God flows through you to others. And as you do that, you are being blessed and healed and set free. Hallelujah. So curses are broken. Father scars are healed. Broken people are welcome. This is a place of restoration. And I love to see these miracles happen weekly, week by week, Sunday by Sunday. Amen. So this is redemption. This is redemption. Here's the second important principle in the Bible, and it's the covenant. The covenant. You know, our God is a covenant-making God. Everything in the Bible is based on a covenant. Everything God does is based on covenants. He made a covenant with Adam, then later with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, with David, with Ezekiel. And then finally, he made the new covenant with us through the blood of Jesus. When Jesus was serving communion, he said, "This is a new covenant in my blood for you." It's the blood of the new covenant. Now, in the Bible, the covenants were taken so seriously that they were sealed with blood. That's why the old covenant was so bloody. There were rituals, there were ceremonies, there were sacrifices that had to be made, and blood was flowing because covenant was sealed with blood. In the original language, actually, the covenant was cut. It was made by cutting. That's the reason why Jesus had to go to the cross. Now, let me go back to the marriage principle. You know, marriage in the Bible is a picture of covenant. Marriage is a covenant. That is the reason why God loves marriage, because it symbolizes our covenant with Him. Marriage in the Bible is a picture of our relationship with God. With God and His people. And in that relationship, get ready guys, we are the bride. Sorry man, we are the bride. So marriage is a holy covenant. It is a bond between a man and a woman to love and cherish one another, just like Christ loved the church. So, here is the thing. Marriage, because of that, is exclusive. One husband devoted to one wife for a whole lifetime. Is that all right? One husband devoted to one wife for a whole time. For us, it's only 26 years up to now. Thank you, Jesus. It's a fate adventure. It's a love affair. And it's an adrenaline journey. I love this definition. I'm not sure who made this. Marriage is an endless sleepover with your favorite weirdo. If you have your husband or a wife here, you can tell him or tell her, "You're my favorite weirdo." Not sure who that is in our case. But in Genesis 2, verses 24 and 25, it says, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. And Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Wow, this is beautiful. See, the act of marriage is twofold. It's twofold. First, leaving everything, and then you stick to your wife like crazy for the rest of your life. It's twofold. You leave everything, including your mom and dad. It's like somebody's cutting your umbilical cord for the second time. And then, first you leave, and then you cleave. You stick together. And the Bible says they felt no shame. Marriage is the place for intimacy. In this message, I'm not going to speak a lot about that. We had some great messages on intimacy in this series. But marriage is the sex zone. Yeah? And it's with no stigma, with no shame, and no limits. Hallelujah. It's all right. It's a safe place for intimacy. You know, we often use the example of a fireplace. As long as the fire is in the fireplace, it's in a safe place. As long as intimacy, passion, sexual love is within the boundaries of marriage, it's in the safe place. So if you are single, here's some advice. Are you ready? Number one, wait until marriage. Number two, control your passions. And number three, cultivate the romance. Early on in our marriage, we actually did a lot of presentations in high schools. We had a presentation called Sex, AIDS, and Relationships. And we went to so many high schools and kind of did like sex education together with my wife. And she was pregnant. She had a big belly. And we would go in from classroom to classroom. We had like a two-hour presentation and with a lot of questions. And we would always say in the presentation, we waited with sex until we got married. And they all looked at us like we were from the museum. You did what? We waited with sex until we got married. And they were so shocked. But I want to say this. Sexual purity is a precious gift. Give it to your bride. Give it to your prince. Maybe you're like, wow, it's too late. I want to say that if that is your case, that God is a restorer. He forgives. He cleanses. Amen. And yeah, so before we go to the final point, let me just say, maybe just from my heart, to you singles, you are not weird. Jesus was a single guy all of his life on earth. He was single. Sometimes we put too much pressure on the singles. And I wanna tell you, you're not weird if you're single. Devote your best to the Lord and then expect His best for you. Amen. Devote your best and expect His best. So the first principle is redemption. The second one is covenant. And here is my final principle for tonight, generations. Generations. I kind of started off by saying this, you know, the Bible is full of generations. It is a beautiful story how His blessing went from one generation to another generation. He's a redeemer. God is a covenant-making God, and He's also a God of generations. That's why in the Bible, in the Old Testament, He's known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, in my own family, I'm so blessed to have multiple generations of people of faith in my own family. When we come together at some kind of a family reunion, it looks like a pastor's conference. I'm so blessed. But it's because someone early on in the beginning decided to follow Jesus. So let me encourage you, if you started to be a follower of Christ, it's going to have an impact on many generations in your life. It doesn't just impact you. It's not just a miracle for your own life. It's going to be an impact for multiple generations in your own family line. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. See, we believe in generations. And I want to say this, that we honor the elders. We honor the heroes of the past. We honor the moms and the dads and the grandpas and the grandmas. We honor them. We have a culture of honoring these people in our midst. And I have to be careful because I'm a grandfather now. We honor the fathers and the grandfathers. Amen. And we also will do our best to reach and to serve the young. That is our passion. We honor the older generation, but we are passionate about reaching the next generation. In the book of Joel, there is this amazing scripture, Joel chapter 1, verse 3, it says, tell it to your children and let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. Come on, this is our mandate. It has to go from one generation to another generation. And I want to say that we are here for the youth of this city, for the kids of this nation. We are here for the next generation. I want to encourage those of us that are older, those of us that are fathers and grandfathers. I want to just encourage you, be a parent to someone in this church. Be a blessing to someone, to the younger generation in this church. You are such a blessing. If you are a mom and dad, if you are a father, maybe a grandfather, if you are older, I want to encourage you, be a blessing to someone. Come on, lead an e-group. Invest your life into someone who is younger. Tell him, tell her your stories. Tell them your breakthroughs. Be a blessing to the younger generation. I want to believe for whole households to be saved. I want to believe for whole families to come to Jesus. I want to see these miracles of transformation of whole families, marriages, families with children coming to the Lord Jesus and being baptized and following Christ, becoming His disciples. I want to see that in our church. My in-laws, they have a picture hanging on their kitchen wall, and they've had it as long as I remember that. And it's a picture from the book of Joshua, and we have the scripture, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. It says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I wonder if we could say this together. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You know, this is my commitment. This is my prayer. This is what I'm praying for my own life, for my own marriage, for my own family. I cannot force any one of my boys to follow Jesus, but I want to live such a life that serving Jesus is the most attractive thing for them. And I wonder if we could make this prayer tonight for me and for my house. We will serve the Lord. Come on. I wonder if we could all stand. The last thing I want to say tonight is some of you have grown up with family supporting you to follow Jesus. Your family is cheering you on. Your family is supporting you to follow Jesus. But for some others, your family is persecuting you. Your family has been maybe ridiculing you and has been tough on you. I know some people that have gone through hell in their family when they became Christians, when they started to follow Jesus. My own father, when he became a Christian in this country, his family first was against that. Only after some time, some years, when his faith was proven faithful, that's when they started to love him and support him in his faith. Sometimes we go through persecution, but there is a scripture in the Bible that is so encouraging. You know, Jesus went through the same. In the book of John, chapter 1, it says, He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Jesus went through the same thing. He went through persecution in His own family. They did not receive Him. They laughed at Him. And at certain point, they actually thought He went crazy. His brothers did not believe in him. His village did not believe in him. And so I wanna pray right now for that. I wanna pray for that. We'll pray for a couple of things, but I wanna start by praying for those of you who actually go through a tough time in your own family. Maybe your family's ridiculing you, your family is persecuting you because of your faith. I want to speak this Father's blessing on your life right now. Yeah, come on. So let's just spend some moment in the presence of God right now. And God is going to touch our hearts right now. He's going to touch the sensitive spots in our hearts. He's going to set us free. Hallelujah. He's going to heal. He's going to set free tonight. He's going to deliver. And He's going to speak a blessing to you right now. So the first thing I want to pray for right now is for those of you who have received a lot of pressure from your family, even persecution. Come on. So Jesus, I speak that blessing, your Father's blessing on this church, and especially for those who have gone through a difficult season in their own family. God, I pray that you would empower them to live their life by the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would just empower them and anoint them to live a life fully for you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to challenge you right now to forgive. If you need to forgive, maybe you felt rejection, maybe you felt persecution. I want to now challenge you to release forgiveness in your life. You know, forgiveness is not necessarily an emotional thing. It's a step of faith. And so wherever you are, I just want to challenge you to right now even decide, make a decision to forgive, to let go. Let go. Come on. Some of you felt a hurt or a wound from your past come alive tonight as I was preaching about the Father's wounds or spoken curses in your life. Come on, forgive. Decide to forgive even right now. There is a flow of forgiveness and healing flowing in this room right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, dear Jesus. But let's just raise our hands to Jesus and make a way for the Holy Spirit. Make a way for the Holy Spirit. He's going to minister to you. He's ministering to you, healing and just love flowing from Him into your life right now. Come on, if you are single, He wants to set you free. If you are married, He wants to release any rejection, any bitterness, any comparison, any accumulated stuff, maybe anger. He wants to release all of that, and He wants to set you free so that you could be the best husband, the best wife. Yes, come on, we release the power of covenant in this room in Jesus' name. The power of the blessing of Jesus in this room tonight. Come on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and we commit that we will serve the Lord. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve Jesus. We will serve Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I have a special burden to pray for the singles tonight. I hope it's all right. I don't want to embarrass anyone in this place. But if you're a single guy or a single girl, I just want to pray with you. I wonder if we could just kind of like change everything for a second. If you're a single person, I want to invite you to come here, not on the stage, in front of the stage, and I just want to speak a blessing over your life. Okay, so just if you're okay with that, why don't you just come here? And as a dad, as a spiritual dad, I'd like to release the blessing of God on you. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud of you guys. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Feel free to come a little bit closer here. Yeah. 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 This is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. Yes. You guys are some of the most amazing people I know. And so, Father, I pray for these men and women, for the singles, Father. I pray for them that that they will be full of you. I pray that you would be everything for them in this time. And I pray, Lord, for just a touch of your blessing on their lives right now. Lord, I pray that as sons and daughters, they would receive a blessing today. And so in Jesus' name, whatever was put on you as a curse, as a spoken curse, or as an accumulated sin from generation to generation, in Jesus' name, I take it off now. And I release the blessing of God, the blessing of the Father on your life, a blessing of the Heavenly Father on life. And Jesus, we pray that these guys and girls, Father, that they would just resemble you, Father. I speak a release of the blessing of God on you in Jesus' name. I pray that you would be fully blessed in every area of your life, emotionally, mentally, relationally, spiritually. Yes. And I also pray for a future partner in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that your best would come into their lives. Father, that your best would come into their lives. Father, we pray for your best to come into their lives. In Jesus' name, we release that. Hallelujah. 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 It's almost like I see a Father smiling on you, the Heavenly Father smiling on you with the favor in His heart. Come on, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Come on, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Yeah, feel free to stay in the presence of God. And what I want to do right now, just for a moment, is just speak to the marriages. And if you have your husband or your wife with you, feel free to hold hands. Okay, and I want to just lead you to just renew the covenant you have with your husband or your wife. Okay, so if you have your husband, your wife, just hold on to them. And so I'm going to pray this, and feel free to pray this with me now as a husband with wife. So Lord, I renew my covenant with my husband, with my wife, in Jesus' name. I receive this marriage blessing in Jesus' name. I pray that I'm the best marriage partner for my husband or for my wife. And I pray that He would make our marriage strong. That He would make our marriage functional, not dysfunctional, but fully functional. I pray that forgiveness would flow, that healing would flow, that restoration would flow. I pray that the agape love of God would flow into our marriage. And if you're a parent, then pray for your kids as well, that the love of God would flow through you to your kids, your sons and daughters. Hallelujah. We speak blessing on the marriages. Yes. And lastly, in this place, I want to come against any power of the enemy right now that wants to divide and destroy. And we take authority in Jesus' name over any and every attack of the devil on our lives, on our marriages, and on our families in Jesus' name. And I declare that Satan, you have no authority in these families in Jesus' names. And you have no power, no right to remind us of the past in Jesus' name. We renounce any curse. We renounce any dysfunction and sin of the past. And we declare that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that Jesus Christ reigns, and that He is the one that we serve. He is the one that we follow. And we receive upon us His blessing today. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray this. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.